The Holman Prize is an international award for blind ambition. Each year, its organisers, San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind, fund three projects for blind individuals who want to explore their boundaries and change the perceptions of how others see sight loss. As one of this year's successful candidates, I was invited to San Francisco to meet the Lighthouse team and my fellow prize winners. With my day job at RNIB Connect Radio in mind, I packed my microphone. Will Butler is Communications Secretary at Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco. As such, he's in charge of pretty much everything to do with the day-to-day running for the Holman Prize. Will, welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, tell me exactly what your function is.
Well, in the Holman Prize, my job is just to make sure that pretty much all aspects of the digital presence of the Holman Prize are carried out in the way that we're envisioning it. And then there are all these sort of in-person aspects and events, which we also have a great team here that does a lot of work on. So they deserve plenty of credit as well.
And you're in, basically, you disseminate knowledge, you get applicants to apply, you help choose who should be the finalists, and then you hand it over to a group of judges, don't you?
Yeah, an incredible group of judges.
And they're drawn from all over the wider area of Northern California, aren't they?
Well, the judges actually come from anywhere. It's a global prize, and so every year we try to get judges from farther and farther away. I think we've had a judge as far as Denmark, and we've talked a lot with other potential judges who might join us in coming years from all the other continents. So,
and one thing binds pretty much all of them together. They are all also blind, aren't they?
That's right, with the exception of one, which is Jason Roberts, who literally wrote the book on James Holman, but he is an incredible advocate for the blindness community, and he joins the judging committee every year when he's able.
And was it your decision to make the first round for Holman applicants a competition that involved making a 90-second visual YouTube video?
Yeah, that came to be probably in a discussion with my other colleague, Dagny Brown, who worked closely with me when we were in the early stages of the prize, and we were talking about how we were going to make sure that the prize was as public as it possibly could be. And initially we had the idea of applicants submitting videos, and that seemed to be kind of a fun idea just for the sake of, you know, sighted people. But without having sighted judges, it didn't make any sense. And then we expanded it to include, well, we thought, why don't we have the video submissions be a public process? Because it could have so much more of an impact on people's perceptions if everyone could take a look at all the applications. And that really kind of steered the direction of the prize in terms of it becoming much more equally an awareness prize as much as it was a prize to motivate blind people towards, you know, going out and doing things.
Yeah, there is a sense that every submission is a winner in many ways, that they get viewed around the world. And I believe actually some of the people who didn't win a Holman Prize either this year or last year have found funding from other sources.
Yeah, it seems like every couple months we hear about a different Holman Prize applicant getting a cold call from somebody, whether it's an investor or a producer or it's just somebody who stumbled upon their video and wants to make their dream, their pitch for the Holman Prize a reality. So you do never know. And that's the other great value of, even if maybe you're a little embarrassed by, you know, pouring your heart out on the 90-second video, it's a good argument for leaving it out there just in case somebody stumbles across it and says, this really resonates with me. I want to make this happen for this person.
And also, you've had people reapply in, well, we're now in the second year. I believe Conchita applied in the first year and became a winner in the second year.
She did. And it's funny because I can't even remember if any of the judging committee members discussed that when they were selecting her. They might have in one of their closed meetings. But I do think that there is this sense of like every year is a fresh crop of people. And the competition, so to speak, takes on a life of its own. And, you know, Conchita's project is maybe similar to what she pitched the first year, but slightly different. But even just in the context of the other applicants, it had a new life, a different life of its own in the field for 2018 than it did in 2017.
Now, we're talking in the autumn or fall of 2018. People should actually start planning now for their submission for the 2019 prize, shouldn't they? Tell me how that's going to shape up and when they would need to have their 90-second video in by.
Yeah, they can start making their videos now if they want. You can make your video any time of year, actually. The process isn't going to change much in terms of the first round of applications. In January of each year, we open up applications. They're open to anybody in the world who can post a video on YouTube and fill out a short application. And the only real rule is that you must be legally blind and you have to get your idea in under 90 seconds. We've seen the videos can be a little intimidating to folks, but actually we've seen an incredibly wide range of videos and there seems to be very little correlation between production value and how far the applicants actually get in the process.
I'm here as one of 2018's three winners. The 2017 winners, the Trailblazers, are due back in November for a gala dinner and to present their project deliverables, their projects.
Right.
How have those gone?
They met our expectations and more. We had three incredibly different all just incredibly compelling prize winners in the first year. Ahmet Üstünel lives here in San Francisco and came here from Turkey about a decade ago. He had this incredible project that involved developing a navigation system for a kayak so that a blind person could comfortably navigate the waters in a kayak, which culminated in him making this kind of symbolic trek across the Bosphorus Strait from Asia to Europe in July. Incredible success. The media loved it, which, you know, has both its ups and downsides, I guess. Penny Melville Brown, Baking Blind, is her project. And she's really, I think of her sort of our cultural ambassador for 2017. Traveled the world cooking with professional chefs and home chefs, home cooks. And despite actually having a pretty tough year, she was in a serious car accident. She managed to follow through on the deliverables for her project as well, posting those videos to YouTube, and she's got all sorts of plans for what Baking Blind will be in the future. And then there's Ojok Simon out in Uganda, who has a project where he teaches everything that a blind person might need to know about farming and merchandising honey. So he's a beekeeper, and he has a organization there called Hive Uganda, and he not only teaches things like, you know, how to maintain a hive, but it teaches foundational skills like mobility and independent living skills so that the dozens and dozens of blind people who he's trained over the last year can be successful as they kind of become entrepreneurs, which is a huge deal for blind folks in Uganda, being that really the only option is to be a beggar if you don't want to rely on family.
And if you had one tip for budding Holman Prize winners for 2019 and beyond, what would that be?
If I had one tip, don't let your anxiety get the better of you. I think as blind people, we are being constantly second-guessed and told that our ideas or the way we're looking at something, figuratively or literally, is not the right way to look at it. So we get stepped in front of a lot. We get people doing things for us, and we never really get a chance to get hands-on with a lot of the things in life that people ought to experience. And so I think that can create a very high level of anxiety about the quality of your ideas. And I think the Holman Prize is an invitation to drop that anxiety and share with the world the things that you're passionate about. And it's not about winning or becoming a finalist or anything like that. It's about saying, hey, you know what, there is something that I love doing and that I want to talk more about and that I want to share with others. And this is something that is essentially me and not something that's being filtered through someone else's lens.
And finally, if you were submitting a proposal for the Holman Prize, what would it
be? People always do this to me. you know, I like to do lots of different stuff. So I have a hard time answering this question. If I could get a heap of money and just spend a period of time focusing on one thing, I think I would try to build a better channel for blind people to get into the entertainment industry and professions where storytelling was the key to success. Because I think blind people are natural talkers, they're natural writers, and they're natural performers. And it is kind of a travesty that when a casting agent or a production studio is looking for blind talent, they can legitimately step out and say that I can't find it anywhere and cast a sighted person for that role. I think that once we get out of school, pretty much the only way we learn new things is through entertainment and storytelling. And so I think that we need to have better systems for getting blind people involved. So I don't know what that would be, maybe an acting school or a something like that.
Well, I'll look forward to reading about the Will Butler Academy of Performing Arts at some point in the future.
Oh my gosh, I'm not even an actor either. I think that until we have some truly deep and nuanced stories about blind people on TV, I know you feel the same way, Red, on TV, in the movies, on the radio, stories written by blind people and performed by blind people and addressing real issues that blind people have. Until then, society is not going to fully understand the blind experience.
I couldn't agree more. Will Butler, thank you so much for being a guest on RNIB Connect.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
For more information on how to apply for the 2019 Holman Prize, visit their website, holman.lighthouse-sf.org.